Hello, sustainability partners. This is Lydia van der Broek, here to share with you best practices around sustainability in hospitality and tourism. And by sustainability, I mean more than mere ecological sustainability, which has thankfully moved into the center of our collective attention over the last few years. If you want to run a truly sustainable operation, you need to also assure economic sustainability, primarily through excellent guest service, and human as well as social sustainability by training and empowering your staff and including the communities that you interact with. How? Well, this is where I come in, and I talk to real people in real businesses to hear about real solutions to real challenges, and I'm happy to share these learnings with you. So if you want to become more sustainable, I invite you to listen in to our conversations and pick out some of these gold nuggets that you can hopefully use in your own operations. And as a side note, every one of my guests has offered to make themselves available for a more in-depth conversation. So by all means, do reach out, connect, and together we can make hospitality and tourism more sustainable. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So I wanted to tell you, I just came back from staying in a lovely hotel in Cologne, here in Germany. Very centrally located, cool, slick design, very modern, reasonable price, and a really comfortable bed. Why am I telling you this? Well, two reasons. And they are somehow connected. What makes this hotel so special is that its primary purpose, as I understand, is to provide travelers with a sustainable accommodation option. So like, you know, most other hotels who eventually, you know, go sustainable somehow, this hotel, or actually the entire hotel group that it's connected to, was conceived to be a sustainable operation. Connected to that purpose is another first for me. This hotel has no staff, well, practically no staff. Yet it runs surprisingly smooth, and the vibe is really, really good. Personally, I did not really miss anything when I stayed there. How these two pretty unique features are in fact connected, this is what today's episode is all about, and this is what I will ask my guests today to elaborate on. So without further ado, please welcome with me and let me introduce you to Mr. Martin Stockburger. He's the founder and CEO of Concept Hotels. Listen to his story. I know you're going to enjoy it. I'm going to extend a very warm welcome to my guest today, Martin Stockburger, from basically right around the corner, just 2 hours away from me. I've discovered this gem, which sounds very preposterous because obviously you've been there for quite some time and have been doing an excellent job. And what I'm going to dive right into is the concept, no pun intended, of your hotel, which just seems to me extraordinary at first sight, because it seems to me to be completely intentional about sustainability, as opposed to many others who, you know, at one point decide to go a little more sustainable. But you seem to have gone a different way, Martin. Would you please introduce your hotel and the concept of your hotels to our listeners? Yes.
Thanks, Lydia, for having me. Actually, if your brand name tells what you are doing, you've reached a long way, right? So that's why the name of the company actually is Concept Hotels, as we have been looking for a brand name that really transports that we try to make things different than the majority of our colleagues or competitors out there in the market. And actually, when we shaped the idea of this kind of hospitality, we did it together in a couple of workshops with a team from Fraunhofer Institute. And in those days, we really developed a business case that is focused to the, in those times, future trends. Mm-hmm. And the future trends 7 years ago have been the digitalization, the sustainability that mm-hmm. came around the corner in those days, mm-hmm. and the shift in possible work field out there due to the change from baby boomers to our generation.
Oh, that was already in the pipeline.
That has been a thing the Fraunhofer Institute people in those days mentioned, mm-hmm. that we when we discuss about shaping a hospitality company, we should definitely dive into all digital aspects mm-hmm. that have been available in those time, mm-hmm. that we purely dedicate the company to sustainability in all aspects, not only in, let's say, safe nature aspects.
Right, right. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
And that we, in best case, find a solution that reduces the need of workers, that we do as much based on digital and automation aspects as possible. Mm-hmm. That has been the idea.
Okay.
And that's why we founded with the claim digital, fair, mm-hmm. what incorporates that sustainability aspect, and local, mm-hmm. due to the fact that I had never the idea of founding a multinational, international operating company where you need an airplane in order to get from the one end of your company to the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay. So you have a traditional, if you will, traditional career that you've had, and you've worked in quite the luxury hotels. We've been sharing touch points of our past before we started this conversation. So you come from a very luxurious environment, right? And at one point you decided that's it. And then you made a cut. And then you did not to follow your passion, if I understand this correctly. You didn't say, oh, my heart really beats for sustainability, I got to do something. No, you sat down and you brought in the experts and you said, where is hospitality going in the future? Is this how am I imagining this properly?
Well, not 100%. So it always has been my passion to really respect nature and environment. So I had been Greenpeace member when I...
All right. So your heart's been green all along.
Absolutely. the other friends out of school went to the football yard and I breeded butterflies at home. So that has been a thing in that really has been caught my attention. So it is not that this is just a marketing thing why we are doing all that sustainability in concept hotels, but actually perhaps due to that personal interest in sustainability, we have been kind of a first mover in our market. So in a time when other hotels really did not reflect nothing about sustainability, right. we shaped already the business cases in the hotels which we opened according to that holistic approach of sustainability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you started your first hotel in 2017, was that? Mm-hmm. So that was way ahead of the wave of sustainability.
Absolutely. And already in those days, we made decisions about where we could get the furniture for that hotel, how could we manage energy consumption and all that stuff. Today, there's the terminology is quite common today, but in those days, you know, you started to, today it's quite normal to say buy local.
Yeah,
but in those days, obviously, we had a local team of workers. The furniture has not been imported from China, mm-hmm. and the products we used have already had that sustainable footprint. Mm-hmm. Whereas clearly spoken in those days, nobody discussed about carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. terminology did not exist according to mm-hmm. what I remember. Mm-hmm. But it has been clear that we had a someone from the Sauerland area that manufactured our furniture and not Home 24, where we bought it and brought it in a shipping container.
Right. So that was quite a risk because producing things locally is more expensive, right? Especially in Kuni.
Yeah, well, the idea always has been that due to that digital approach we do, we will be able to really save quite a portion of that cost you normally spend for human workers. Mm-hmm. Right? And we invested part of that into our digital mm-hmm. tech stack. Mm-hmm. So already from the first step on, we had higher spends in let's say, systems and automation mm-hmm. and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. But we saved that second portion, which we had been able to invest into sustainability until today. So when you open booking.com, for example, mm-hmm. where all of us know we will never book there, but mm-hmm. you could open it and have a look. Mm-hmm. We are slightly below the competitive set in the pricing, mm-hmm. but obviously we are delivering more hotel quality than our competitors, as well in the hardware as in the sustainability aspects. Okay. I always do the comparison with that Mazda MX-5.
Right.
Quite a lot of car uh-huh. for a reasonable amount of money.
Okay.
And Concept Hotels might be the MX-5 in hospitality. You get quite a decent room, cool design, a lot of hardware features.
Okay.
And we do all that sustainability aspects from working together with people with disabilities until the environmental donation we do, all included in your rate. That is slightly below Hotel One normally.
Okay. So digitalization, you're investing in this, but you're saving on the human resources, and what you're saving, you're basically investing in the slightly more expensive sustainability aspects that you're including in everything. Okay.
And at the end of the day, we are quite doing well from the figure side. So that's probably due to the fact that as our clientele more and more estimates all that sustainability things we do.
And people go for it, yeah? They don't mind less of a human touch. They're happily trading it in for digitalization. I'm the generation of human over digital, right? Yeah. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I understand that
still,
point.
Is it still so? I mean, I'm very excited about all sustainability things, and I really want to dive into. Is there still a part that in hospitality that has to do with humans, though, doesn't it? Is it not missing? I've not been to one of your hotels, and I'll know more next week. But isn't there? Don't you get any feedback that that's missing, or do you feel you're compensating for it?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do.
But you know, there's in. I have been born in the southern part of Germany in Württemberg, and there's a saying that says you can't clap all flies with one hand.
Right. No, you can't.
So you can't do all that sustainability things and pay significantly above the lowest wages and do donations into biodiversity projects and all that stuff. If you're spending as much as all your competitors for that human work,
right?
It's just like that. And of course, we try to, let's say, minimize that malus we have from non-personal service on spot with a lot of
extra gimmicks. Yeah? And
but of course, our always the worst trade in all our guest reviews is obviously the personal service that is lacking. So yes, that becomes less and less important.
Right.
But it's still there.
If you
compare today, there's a lot of supermarkets, Rewe or grocery stores, OB, where you do your self-scanning.
Right.
Where you do the cashier process. That has been not possible some 10 or 15 years ago, but it becomes more and more normal, and customers get more and more familiar to that. And I think it's just the same process in hospitality. I think in a couple of years ahead, there will be that outstanding, perhaps holiday or luxury hotels where you get all that personal treatment, all that human service, but in the broad field out there, this will not be
the day-to-day business traveler in and out, who, you know, in all fairness, you don't encounter many people, right? I mean, even a check-in, many people have a pre-check-in already, even though they don't put digitalization at the forefront of their services. So you do encounter very few people anyway. Yeah. And at breakfast, it's nothing, right? Do you serve breakfast? Do you offer breakfast?
Only if it's really not avoidable. We're in one spot where there's nothing around, and you really have to let's say, give your guests something to eat.
Right.
In that case, we do breakfast, but if it's avoidable, we don't do. The name of the company is Concept Hotels and not Concept Breakfast Restaurants.
Not B&B.
We don't want to do that.
Just a B. Okay, let's not talk about what you don't offer. Let's talk about what you do offer. So walk me through what do I get digitally? Because digital is the first thing you offer, right? Digital, fair, and local. So digital parts of it?
Hopefully you book on your digital device. Normally, you book on our site, as we do quite an intelligent price management. Obviously, OTAs is more expensive. I've never understood when calling a hotel and asking them for a better rate than Booking or Expedia gives out, why quite a lot of other hotels reply, well, book on Expedia, they have the better rate.
I've heard this.
You hopefully book on our site as you're quite a smart traveler.
Right.
So you get the best deal on our site, and combined with the promise that for each and every direct booking, we safeguard 1 square meter of biodiversity area.
Okay, you tell me that later. Let's go on with the digitalization there.
Then prior to your stay, we inform you that 24 hours before you arrive, we charge your credit card. Mm-hmm. Our digital system checks the validity of your mm-hmm. card, and mm-hmm. we deduct it from right. you 24 hours before mm-hmm. you arrive. So there's actually no unpaid reservations with us. Right. You complete the online check-in according to official laws mm-hmm. prior to your arrival. If you don't do that, you can't enter the hotel.
Okay.
And if you have paid and completed all your personal data beforehand, you can enter the hotel and then obviously also enter your individual room. In case you want to have that, you could encode an RFID card if you feel better about having one of those cards with you instead of opening your room with your smartphone.
Okay, and the hotel? But I can get into the hotel.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can if you carry the digital key with you, you open the main door as well as your room door with your smartphone.
Okay.
So there's no people in our hotel that is not staying with us.
Okay.
Now that's one huge difference to the typical normal, let's say, 1 to 5 star hotel where you mm-hmm. easily can walk in. The concierge right. will greet you very mm-hmm. friendly and mm-hmm. you use that toilet mm-hmm. without being their guests.
Right, right.
That's not happening at us. So
okay.
Everybody's that is moving around in our hotel okay. is guests of our hotel in that particular date.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's nobody there. There is no desk, no check-in desk.
There's no check-in desk, nobody there. Well, we are around, right? So we are checking the cleanliness and doing mm-hmm. tests and checks of our systems as well as maintenance. So mm-hmm. obviously we are from time to time or on a regular mm-hmm. basis, we are in our hotels, but there's no physical reception okay. desk where you walk to and where you sign your registration right. form or where you pay, that's right. all done in the application.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. So I go there with my digital key on my mobile phone yeah. and I just go there and that's yeah. it.
And in best case, it's as intuitive that you understand how to manage all uh-huh. that stuff.
Right.
You don't have to call us. You uh-huh. don't need support and you have no waiting line in which you have right. to queue up in order to get uh-huh. your invoice on okay. the day of checkout.
So you just leave the next day. And is there, I'm assuming there's like a hotline or something if I have an yeah. issue or.
We operate a 24/7 hotline, what is actually our team. So it's not that you get forwarded to some place in, I don't know, Slovakia or India. Mm-hmm. It is our team that really okay. is at your service. And okay. I think that's important because if you have that impression that it's in a way not as personal uh-huh. or not as attentive or too technoid, you could call. And in that case, it needs someone that says, well, Lydia, great, you're calling. Here's uh-huh. the concept team and we are at your
okay.
service.
Okay. 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 Yeah. And normally I would just go up to my room anyway and just stay there, right? Because yeah. you don't have much going on normally if you're just there for business. That's yeah. yeah. And you are embedded in a community. You're not somewhere out by the airport or some anonymous place where you don't even want to walk out, right? If I understand this correctly, your hotels are in an area where I'm happy to walk out and go around the corner and go to
absolutely.
A place, have a beer.
Absolutely. And you know, if you're asking, well, does that really feel secure? Is that a safe place? For example, for you as a female traveler, it is the most secure hotel concept that you could imagine because on our hallways, in our elevators, in our lobby, there's really only people that have paid with their credit card. They can't pay with cash. Mm-hmm. And we have all personal data. There's camera surveillance all around. So, you know, we really know who is staying in our hotel. Whereas if you go to the Hilton, you can check in and on reception desk, you give Angela Merkel as your mm-hmm. name, you pay 100 euros cash mm-hmm. and they know nothing about you. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all the credit card details. We have your passport details. We even check with an artificial intelligence whether address fits to street and postal code and things like that. So if you put in 000 and 1000 Angela Merkel, that will not work at us.
Okay.
Besides the fact you would not carry a credit card that names Angela Merkel, as no bank will issue a credit card
probably.
That is not bound to your personal identity.
Right. Okay. So I'm in a nice area. I feel secure when I go in there. And if I want to have a bite to eat or a drink, I can just walk out and I'm in a nice neighborhood. And then it's like something between a hotel and, I guess, an apartment, right?
Yeah. Which it feels somewhere in between. Well, actually, what is quite funny that we have quite a lot of regular guests, and for them, it even feels like a community. So that's quite funny because for me, it's quite important that there's no pictures of myself in the hotels. Okay. Right? I don't want to have that because that makes it possible that you really get that voice of the customer. Yeah? If there would be a collateral or, you know, on the webpage, a lot of images of myself, I could not get into that conversation with our guests same way as it is possible right now. And from time to time, I do the check-in process on spot just to check whether it's fluent and efficient and all that stuff. And then it's quite often the case that guests staying in the hotel approach you and ask you, are you fine with it? Do you need help? I know how to do it.
So people, really guests helping guests.
Creates a feeling of community, I guess. I'm not a Scientologist. I think due to the fact that there's that lack of reception, that it feels like if it would be smart if you would help the other, like, you know, holding the door in order to let somebody pass. Right?
That's quite interesting. The dynamic shift if there is official hotel employee there.
Because in a normal regular hotel, you would never approach somebody checking in and asking him if he needs or he or she needs.
Because
help.
it's a different dynamic, right? You don't have you know, you have a triangle, which you don't have. That's very interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go and feel it out. Now, I understand local, right? You're in a community. You're not somewhere out on the field where it's really creepy to be and you don't really want to be. And then let's go into fair. I like that a lot. Let's go into fair. You're doing a lot of things. So you're compensating. You're using the resources available, let's put it this way, that you made available through digitalization to be particularly fair. How did the whole fairness concept come into play? Was this something that that Fraunhofer suggested, or how did you?
Well, that sustainability thing has been one of the points they really pointed with their fingers, that we should 100% incorporate that sustainability into our business case. And we have been working on, let's say, vocabulary that is not as, let's say, educational as sustainability. Sustainability always feels a bit that you are not allowed to have meat anymore. You're not allowed to drive with your own car. It is, in a way, really, let's say, sustainability has the aspect of education and restricting and cutting things and, you know, more.
Feeling a little bad about everything you do.
It has not a hedonistic sound, right? Sustainability feels more like, well, there's a lot of things you should better not do. Instead of sustainability is if you really love to indulge yourself, it doesn't sound like sustainability.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it goes together.
Yeah, and that has been the reason why we really searched for a terminology that feels more like I'm fine with respecting all that other things and not having something that is dominating what I am allowed to do or not allowed to do. And that has been the way how we came to that fairness, because fairness is quite a word that has a lot of common sense.
Yeah.
Feels good to be fair and
everybody wants to be fair. You can't argue with fair, right?
That's a thing you would love to be treated fair and
everybody wants it.
There's hardly
kids
anyone.
Kids feel it. Yeah. Kids have a strong feeling about fairness, right? Absolutely. What's fair, what's not fair. It's a good
and
word.
That fairness normally has let's say has two directions. If a football match is fair, it is not that only one team plays fair. It means that both teams stick to the rules of the match. And if they don't do anything that affects that rules, it is said that the match is fair. So it's both. It's not only us, that sustainability thing. It's also our guests staying with us. They have, as we all know, in tourism, the largest impact that is that scope 3. Scope 2 and 3 of sustainability aspects, what is travel, how they arrive to the hotel, whether they come in their private jet or if they use a public transport. That makes the hugest difference in tourism. And I think that's quite funny about that fairness, that it's not only us, not we are, you know, saving the planet. It's all, as well, the guests that can really decide to make a difference.
Yeah. So, and everything that feels good, that makes for sustainability, even though it's not labeled, goes into fairness. I understand. You mentioned it before, the sponsoring of 1 square meter of nature. Talk to us about that, please.
Yeah, well, today it's quite normal that everybody talks about ESG, right? So that comes out of that, let's say, better education of society, that sustainability has a couple of aspects. That it's not only that environmental aspect, it's also that social and, and that third part that goes into, let's say, more economics.
Right.
And what we have tried to really fulfill or deliver in our sustainability promise is that we really cater to all three aspects of sustainability. And what is quite funny is that the easiest pillar of sustainability in our company, what we easily complete, is that social thing.
Okay.
Where in most other companies, it would be the environmental pillar.
Right.
That you say, well, we separate the waste or we reduce energy consumption and things like that. But every time we are doing some audit or applying for any kind of qualifying label, the most points we receive is on that social area.
On social.
And that has been the reason why we said, well, we have to do something in that obvious economical area, in that pillar that really is, I would not say it's a lack in our sustainability approach, but it's definitely that part where we have the most, let's say, wide fields.
The ecological part. Okay.
And that has been the point where we said, well, we should really put money into that. We really should invest into biodiversity. And well, that has been the beginning of our approach in that. The first
Every time I book a room, I'm sponsoring 1 square meter of Greenland. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the feeling you have. The truth is that we take part of our profit and invest that in biodiversity projects.
Okay.
And those projects, the first couple of years, we really invested into one of that plant a tree projects. But we haven't really been 100% sure whether all those donations really lead to what we had in mind.
Which is something a lot of people do worry about, right?
It is so easy, you know, to glue a sticker to your front door and tell everybody, well, I'm climate neutral.
Right.
As we plant thousands of tiny trees somewhere on that planet. Right. But
skip housekeeping and we'll plant a tree.
And nobody knows where those trees are.
Right.
And I said, well, for us, as sustainability is not one of our USPs among others, it is the core of our company. We have to make 100% sure that we deliver what we are promising, right? And that has been the moment when we said, well, we only can control what we do ourselves. I can't control that plant thing in some
Indonesia or Amazon.
And if I take a plane in order to visit my trees.
That's it,
And that's been the point where we said, well, first of all, why shouldn't we do biodiversity projects in front of our house?
Right.
We have the claim digital fair local, so I don't have to plant somewhere on the other side of the globe. So let's do it in front of our main door. And we have to make 100% sure that in the moment the customer asks us for proof, we can deliver. And in Germany, you can 100% deliver that proof based on the Grundbuch.
That's where you register ownership of your property.
Ownership of properties, yeah, exactly. And we have bought a plot of land with our company, so it's not that I in person have bought that. The company has bought that plot of land, and it can't be sold to anyone else, as there's a Grundrecht in that Kaufvertrag that the only usage of that plot of land is for biodiversity reason, and we even have a certification from the Landratsamt that we are underlaying with that area for a special project in order to increase biodiversity, and they are checking this twice a year.
So we can't
have a farmer that is, you know, harvesting the grass and feeding to his cows. That's all possible, as it's really checked from official site that this is done what we are promising.
That's very good.
That really
so cool. Yeah,
costs quite some money. And on the technical side, it is, as I said, we are taking out of our profit the money in order to invest into that biodiversity area, and that will really grow. There will be more areas, more plot of lands in the upcoming years as well. What is technically not working in Germany is buying square meter per square meter, as you always have to go to the notar. They are not, you know.
It's the same. It's the same. Whether you do it as a bulk and then you're paying towards it, or you're really buying a square meter, I think it's the idea. And as long as it's really being executed, you can be sure of it, right? And at the end of the day, you could take a picture of it, right?
The last 2 years, we have invested far more than €30,000 into that project.
Okay.
In 23 and 24.
Okay.
And if you compare our amount of rooms we operate and the probable amount of direct bookings we receive, you come easily to the clue that it's quite generous what we are investing there. So it's not that we have a lack or a gap of biodiversity.
Very cool. Well, let's make sure we touch on a couple of other points that fall into the part of fairness. So I picked out the laundry bags.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about the laundry bags?
Yeah, that's a funny thing. We don't have any marketing materials inside our rooms aside that laundry bags.
Okay.
And those laundry bags cost around €3 per item. It is obviously ecological, harvested and planted cotton. And there are prints on that laundry bag that are printed in a sheltered workshop in Berlin since the first day of Concept Hotel. So since 7 years in the St. Stephanus Werkstätten in Berlin, there's a small team printing those laundry bags for us. And we give it as a present to our guests in the idea, they are quite decent and good looking. And the idea behind is you put your laundry into that bag and that bag into your luggage, and you carry it with you from place to place during the next couple of years. It's really high quality material, so it is not that you have to throw it away after using it one or two times. We even change the prints, the motif is changing from time to time, and it's quite funny that all couple of months we receive images from our guests carrying their laundry bag to their next holiday or that place and this.
Everybody needs a good bag, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's really, you know, we are since 7 years, we are supporting that sheltered workshop. They have, as I said, a small team that is really happy about doing that work. And I'm totally convinced that our guests also estimate that high quality thing instead of a cheap plastic bag.
Plastic that rips anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I see how you combine ecological and social aspects.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. That's one of our strengths. I have to tell you another story. In Tübingen, we have we are in direct neighborhood to a kindergarten. And each and every year we do things under the name of, let's say, ecological education. Yeah. And in that ecotainment, we talk to that kindergarten, that it could be quite a nice idea to have one of that insect hotels,
okay.
but not a small one, a really massive thing.
Okay.
And the kindergarten kids had to collect, you know, that stuff that comes into that.
Right. The shrubs and the sticks that, and the, yeah.
And we would provide them the hotel. As we as a hotel company, it's right. quite normal, you know, excuse, we right. do the hardware uh-huh. and right. then the guests, the insects are right. coming, right?
Yeah.
And we went to the nearby prison that operates kind of a prison workshop.
Okay.
That they produce, manufacture in their carpenter yeah. stuff.
Carpentry, yeah.
kind of things like that. They had never created an insect hotel of that dimensions uh-huh. before, but that is another quite nice example about the combination of mm-hmm. social aspects. Mm-hmm. So we do that neighborhood
right
eco-tainment
local,
thing,
right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
But obviously not from a normal carpenter, but mm. in the prison mm-hmm. Where we support their kind of
sure.
let's say work by uh-huh. giving that order to them instead uh-huh. of the normal, uh-huh. let's say, first market.
Fantastic. Yeah. And everybody benefits, right?
Everybody benefits.
And the insects do too. So I understand you have a few more hotels in your pipeline. Do you have any more? I see you and your team seem to be super creative when it comes to new ideas and new approaches. Anything in your pipeline as far as creative ideas is concerned?
Yeah, well.
Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, normally we don't announce our hotels prior to opening, uh-huh. right? Because there you could fill a complete globe with all those hotels. All the hotel companies in that world have already announced but never opened.
Right.
And I said, well, that's also part of you know, I think sustainability is also in the way how you communicate to mm-hmm. your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you communicate trash or is it valid what you're telling?
Right, and you establish credibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is a thing of credibility. If I go mm-hmm. to the to Expo Real Fair and announce mm-hmm. we are going to open 50 new concept hotels, and after a couple of years, it is two.
Right. You
know? We all remember those brands that will be rolled out to the world and covering the entire yeah. country with their new products. Yeah. And we decided not to do that. So in general, we are announcing a hotel the moment it's opening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one project coming around the corner. We have not yet communicated the location, mm-hmm. but there's one project coming around the corner that is probably the project of my life. The most complex project and also for me, a very personal and emotional project, as it's in my home area.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a building that really dates back to the 15th century.
Okay.
And with even a chapel inside that building.
Right.
There's so much things. We just had a walkthrough this week, and there's even a room where they've, do you say bared on or aufgebahrt?
Well, where the bodies are, I don't know, where the dead bodies or the bodies of the deceased are just displayed, I guess.
Okay, displayed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
No.
And there's still that room and uh-huh. that beds uh-huh. from former times, and they displayed that yeah. passed away.
Uh-huh.
So there's so many things in that building, and we purely recognize that we will operate for a couple of years, a hotel there. Might it be 30 or 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a look onto that 500 or 600 years mm-hmm. that building is existing, we are mm-hmm. just one slice of
right.
20 or 30.
Blink
or
of an
years.
Eye, right.
It mm-hmm. is just an example of that. We are part for a couple of years mm-hmm. of that journey of that place or that
yeah,
building.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, you understand that it's not about fast furniture or mm-hmm. about developing something the most profitable way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, it's the other way around, about, mm-hmm. Let's say, how you respect materials, how you mm-hmm. can take something out of the, let's say, process about out of the flow and uh-huh. in some certain day to give it back into that circle,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that will be the first hotel where we really try to fulfill that circular aspect mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. of building a hotel, of taking that 600 years old building out of its history, bringing it into a hotel usage for, let's say, a man's life.
Yeah.
And perhaps then one day after my life, perhaps it comes into another usage one day.
Turns into something else.
Back into the transition of that building. And we're just, let's say, taking care of it for a couple of years.
So taking it from sustainability to circular in a way.
That's the next step.
Exactly. That must be something completely different from the hotels that you have built before or you've taken over before.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Yeah. Well, interesting how you're going to turn it digital.
Yeah, well, that chapel will not be turned into digital. But, well, I have to say, we already have one national monument in our portfolio. So in the hotel we're operating in Switzerland, this is former Gasthof, a former, let's say, inn, that has also a history or a tradition of 650 years, whereas the building itself is not dating from that days. So it is the place and parts of the walls that are dating back to those days, but not the entire building. And that's different to that new project where you really have those, you know, we had to conduct an analysis of the wood, as we had been asked to check that beforehand, and that analysis really brought to the surface that even the roof is dating from those 600 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well, I like how you're not just using a cookie cutter to carve out your concept hotels. That would be the easiest way, I think, and just plop them in strategically convenient places. But that you are, you have a wide horizon, and you delve into other projects as well.
That's you're finger pointing another thing, right? We had the plan to do that cookie cutter thing and develop the building that really would fit perfectly to the green field. In smaller destinations, where there's a strategic lack of accommodation offer. So we had a partner on our side and had the plan to roll that out. But due to the current crisis in real estate business, this project really came to an end. So we do have all that, let's say, blueprints for that cookie cutter thing in the drawer. But we, in the last 2 or 3 years, we had to focus on our own strength. And that's not that cookie cutter thing, as it just needs to really bring those projects into a series. You really need, let's say, quite relevant investment opportunity, right? And that's a thing we don't have as a bootstrap company. And that's the reason why we focus, as we always did before, to the unique and differentiating hotels we have in our portfolio.
Well, and, you know, this might just make up a little bit for, you know, circling back to our conversation at the beginning, you know, make up a little bit for maybe the lack of the human touch, you know, to not walk into a cookie cutter hotel might just make not having people around, you know, might just more than compensate it. You know, if you have the personality of a building versus the personality of people a little bit.
You know, for our team and also for myself, that individual hotels, that's far more interesting, and that makes me happy to really bring a project like the one I just mentioned into life.
Yeah.
But as a as holistic, sustainable, as we have the holistic understanding of sustainability in the DNA of our country, of our company, it could be felt as our duty to solve for society a problem. And there are areas in Germany where there are no hotels already existing or that will not exist in a couple of years due to the fact that in a normal 25 rooms hotel somewhere in the nowhere,
small city,
you
right?
will not find anyone that stands 24/7 behind the reception desk, and all that small individual hotels are going to be closed down. That would be really our business case enables to operate hotels in that area. As well as we do that 20 rooms hotel in Cologne city downtown location, we could also operate a hotel somewhere on the Swabian Alp or in Lower Saxony, somewhere where it is hard to find trained workers.
Right.
And as we don't need those, we could deliver a solution to society that not everyone can provide. And from that perspective, it could be perhaps our duty or our, let's say, purpose of the company to dive into that cookie cutter thing as well. Whereas it is not as entertaining and as sexy and as cool and as preventing a 600 years old building from...
That's what you have a portfolio for, right?
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like you really spend a lot of thought into this. It's so interesting to listen to you, how the strategy of your company is developing. I think there was a lot of goodies in there that other hoteliers may take away, maybe not in the pure form that you are experiencing it and executing it. But I'm sure there was a lot in there for people who might just want to go a little more sustainable, or they start from scratch like you did. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, your experiences, what you're doing with everyone here. It's fantastic. And my thinking is that one day, you know, sustainable is no longer labeled. There's at one time, there's going to be, you know, which other way would you go rather than sustainable? What's the alternative, right? Yeah. And that we won't be talking about that anymore. We'll be talking about going different places. But in the meanwhile, I think it's fantastic to share, to learn from one another, and to build upon the experiences of others. And for that, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your experiences with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for that platform. At the end of the day, it's not a marketing thing for our company. It is about the idea of sustainability. And therefore, it's important to spread the word.
For everyone. Fantastic. For everyone. I appreciate it. And all the best, toi, toi, toi. All the best going forward. I'm sure I'll be hearing and reading and about you, as will the rest of us. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Take care.